This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mariners Pod. We're back. Thanks for being here. This kind of feels like the first one of the regular season. And we'll kind of talk about how things, I think, are going to work this year for the most part. This is going to be a fun one. Aaron Goldsmith is going to be by. We're going to talk over the start of the season. Also, we're going to answer some of your questions coming up in a few minutes. Also, I'm going to play Julio conversation that most of you didn't hear, as many of you alerted me that I don't know what happened with the podcast, I think two podcasts ago, where the previous one was actually just reposted. So I don't think a lot of you heard the Julio conversation, so I will re-rack that one this time. I will also, in an upcoming episode, replay the Pierpont conversation, because that's one I think you'll like too. So I'll have that one coming up in an episode upcoming. So before we jump into the conversation with Aaron, let's get some housekeeping stuff out of the way. So I think how it's going to work this year is I think we're going to try for three Mariners pods a week, probably Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And as longtime listeners of the pod knows that sometimes travel can get in the way of that once in a while and just schedule in general. So, but that's kind of what we're shooting for, three a week. And yeah, I think about the pod and how it's kind of transitioned. It used to be a daily kind of recap of the game the night before. It's kind of transitioned into more longer conversations, whether it be a conversation with Aaron or players or however. So it's transitioned. It's a little different than it used to be, of course. But one thing that I'd love to hear from you, and I've reopened the email address, marinerspod@mariners.com. You can reach me there anytime. Twitter, too, @GaryHillJr. But email, of course, if you have something a little bit longer you want to get into. Because I would love to hear what you want to hear, whether it's specific guests or kind of the things you like the most and what you'd want to hear more or more often. I love hearing all of that. So please shoot me an email at any point. And also, Aaron and I are going to do more podcasts together more consistently during the course of the season. And for some of those, we're going to take some questions along the way. We had really great questions coming up in this episode, but feel free. You just send them along at any time and I can save them for when we actually do an episode. So, and questions about anything, baseball, us, travel, food, whatever, we're wide open to anything. So please send those along. So those are just kind of some initial thoughts on how I think the pod is going to go this year. As I've said many times, a lot of you have been here. We are slowly closing in on nearly 900 episodes of this thing. And some of you have heard every single one, which delights me and amazes me. And I love, whether you've been here for one episode or all 800 plus, I really appreciate your listenership. And I love doing the podcast so much. It's one of my absolute favorite things to do. So one of the disappointing things, I love my job. One of the difficult parts about the job is sometimes gets in the way of doing this as consistently as I would like. But I think three is going to work this year. So hopefully that works for you. But again, let me know. Let me know what you think. So we're going to jump into the conversation, me and Aaron, and we are going to chat about the start to this season.
All right, Aaron, welcome to Mariners Pod.
Is that your open?
That's the open.
Well, you sound so down.
Hey, what? Aaron, welcome to Mariners Pod.
Man, I mean, now it sounds a little over the top.
Oh,
it's a great day, Gary. What's the deal?
It is a great day.
It's great to be on the pod.
I'm excited about this. This is something we're going to do more often this year, me and you on the pod. So for better or worse, listener, you're going to get more of us. And from time to time, we're going to take your questions, too. So we're going to have some questions coming up on our little segment here. But I'm looking forward to this. I enjoy talking baseball with you.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
My, my, my. We'll be right back. And I feel the same also about you, Gary.
Yeah, we're going to ease into the segment.
Yeah.
It's only going to be a couple minutes
yeah.
long.
Yeah.
It'll get longer as we go.
Perfect.
Through the course
of
the
year. What do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the start of the season. What do you think? What do you think so far? Hey, we should always let people know we are taping this in front of Game 2 against Cleveland.
No, no, so, no. This is live.
We have no idea what happened with Castillo and Bieber tonight.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, my impressions, is that what you asked?
Yeah.
Sorry, my impressions of the early part of the season? Like, I'm not really moved or swayed by anything negative.
Yes.
I understand that it has not gotten off to... Hey, this will surprise you, Gary. It's harder here than in Arizona. Like,
so, hey, I was listening to Ryan Dempster today.
Okay.
Really good major league pitcher
yeah.
for a long time and now an analyst in Chicago. And he had a great line about spring training today because he is actually really frustrated about people reading into spring training.
Really?
Yeah. And he said, I don't know how we got to the point, I'm paraphrasing, how we got to the point where people think spring training matters. And then he said, I've got 1,000 of my baseball cards in my office. And not one of them do I see any of my spring training
yes.
numbers on the back.
And that's a great
like,
point.
I thought, I was like, there it is.
That's a great point.
That's an excellent point.
Honestly, I think everyone would be better off if spring training was played in a bubble with no media coverage. like a pandemic bubble.
Yes. Okay? Everyone's blind.
Like,
yeah, no idea what happened.
And it's like you have to wear like a little tracer or tracker to get in and out. It's like very limited number of people who are allowed in. There's no fans.
Yeah.
Okay? And just like all the players eat their meals in their rooms alone, okay, and like to-go, pre-made to-go containers, because it, for better or worse, either side of the coin, it can really mess with you. Now the Mariners offensively look great near the end of spring training. I think many of us believe that while that is good, that does not mean anything when the bell rings, and the Mariners saw some kind of funky pitching against the Red Sox. Right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately for the M's, some funky pitching that did not line up with their immediate strengths. And I think the Red Sox might have known that.
They certainly did.
It's funny how that works in this game.
You know, it's funny because you look at the Mariners and how they're constructed. They hit the fastball really well last year. They've added Mitch Garver, one of the best fastball-hitting guys, to this lineup that hits fastballs. So... it's going to be fascinating to watch how they're attacked because teams know this. They know they're more susceptible to spin, and they really hit the fastball. So guess what the Mariners are going to see for a while until they can start. And not, I guess not every team can are equipped to dial it up like the Red Sox did, but that's what the Mariners are going to see.
Well, and here's the other thing. It's while all that you said about the Mariners and is true, and I agree with all of it, this is also the era that we live in.
100%.
Like breaking ball usage, or should we just say like non-fastball usage, anything but a heater, so spin or off-speed, usage of that is at an all-time high. Velocity on those pitches are on an all-time high.
Yeah.
And it's harder to hit. It's very simple. Like I had a really insightful conversation with Scott the other day before game one, so yesterday. And I said, hey, when you are seen as a hitter, when you are seeing so many breaking balls and changeups, does it make it harder or easier to hit the heater?
Mm.
And I couldn't even finish my sentence. Harder. Mm. So much harder. Which only makes sense. Everything plays up more, and you can only cover so much. And I feel like the Red Sox thing will be an extreme, or if it's... there won't be many more quite like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was a bad matchup to start the year. And the Mariners split. I think that's the one thing that we lose sight of. They weren't swept, actually. Did you know that?
Actually, I think that's a great sign, and it points to just how strong the Mariners' pitching is. Because if you flip that series and look at it from the Red Sox perspective, like they got great pitching.
Yeah.
And perhaps... the best series of pitching they'll have all season. given the numbers. It was off the charts.
It was incredible.
And they won 2 of 4. Just think about it from that perspective for a second. So, yeah, I'm with you.
But the Mariners' pitching has obviously been, by and large, very good. I think the first time, you know, it's funny. I heard Cal talk post game about, maybe it was Kirby after he walked the first guy that he faced this year. Which, by the way, made me think of, wasn't it Corbin Burns a couple of years ago who, like, had the longest streak without walking a guy, and then on opening day, like maybe 2022, he walked the first battery face, which is kind of funny. So that made me think of that. But Cal said, I think Kirby, George was just really excited and amped up. It was, everybody's excited for their first time on the field. And I don't know, for whatever reason, when he said that, it just kind of resonated with me of, oh, yeah, like, for all these guys in the rotation, first time through, it's like we feel like the season's settled in now.
No, that's their opening day.
Yeah, for Emerson Hancock, it was his opening day.
Yeah,
and for him, it was like his whatever fifth big league start to boot. And so for all those guys, like first time through the order, first time through the rotation, you don't know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Like Castillo wasn't Castillo,
right?
Like Miller had like the exact same pitching line. Mm-hmm. Although he had some bright moments, the splitter looked great, but. Overall, the pitching still remains the strength. And I think that's something if you're a Mariners fan, let's not be delusional about this. The offense is retooled, and it should be better. It will be a big disappointment if it's not.
Yeah, I think with health, it will be better in the long term.
But, let's not set our sights on the Mariners will have the best lineup in baseball. The Mariners will score more runs than anyone. The Mariners will have the lowest strikeout rate in all of Major League Baseball. Like, no, that's not going to happen. And the good news is it doesn't have to happen.
Right.
Doesn't have to happen. The pitching's good enough. Like, I'm not trying to short sell the lineup.
No, what you're saying is they don't have far to go.
They don't have
You're not asking for them to be the best offense in baseball.
They don't have to be, nor will they be, and that's okay.
You know, it's funny is when you look at some of the numbers from last year, in some ways, they don't even have to be better. They just have to be more consistent,
I think.
Because at the end of the day, you look at last year, like their WRC Plus was in the top 10, right? But the way they got there was peaks and valleys.
Yeah. It was a little emotional.
In August, they looked like the best team of all time. I mean, they had the best month in franchise history. But then there were other months where they struggled.
You know, I would take everything you just said, and I agree with it, and I would also, as a fun exercise, I would subtract the word Mariners and add the word Julio.
Yes.
Right? Like, that was Julio's year.
Yeah.
Just, like, highs and lows.
Right.
Like, the obviously remember the highest of highs. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. And it propelled the numbers to where they were at the end of the season. But it was not as steady and even. And I've said it before on the air. I think the hardest year for any player is the second year.
100%.
And the second hardest year is year one of a mega free agent deal. Like, just go look at every guy who signs for $100+ million. Like,
hey, the evidence is out there.
Yeah. Like they not that they always will, but they often underperform their expected numbers in that first year.
And a big reason why is because they swing more, and they swing more outside the zone. This is research. And you know why? Because they're human beings.
Hey, I'm worth it.
Yes, they're trying to prove themselves. It's so rare the guy that can go to a new place and not do that sort of thing, especially out of the gates. That's why.
That's why Otani's going to be a bust. You heard it here first, folks. I just don't like that at all. I don't think it's going to work out.
I mean, you can see it. You can see it with guys. There's a lot of try hard, and sometimes, yeah, it takes a week or so, and sometimes it takes a couple of months. That's the way it works.
Like for Marcus Semien, it took the whole year.
Yeah, it did.
And now he's Marcus Semien again.
Yeah.
And last year they won a World Series.
I also think I love opening day. I love when we start to settle into the season. I think the first week is so hard to talk about because it's all we've seen. It's the only baseball we've had, so it's what we have to talk about. At the same time, analyzing any four games, if this were four games in June, what would we be doing? But they're the only games we have.
You know what? Next time we do this, I'm going to have.
This may be the last time.
I was going to say. And cut. Next time we do this, I'm going to have a chart prepared. And I've told you about this chart before, Gary, but it's been a long time.
Okay.
And it's going to take some math, and you're going to probably need to help me with this. I want to make a visual that spans 162 games into minute markers of a four-quarter football game.
Aha!
Okay? Because I want to be able to say at game 20,
we are
in the first TV timeout of the Seahawks and the 49ers.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what I want people to think about. Like, when Geno throws a pick in the opening drive. Oh, God. Well, there it goes. same old Geno. This season's a wash. And turn the TV off. No, you're like, well, we have, like, all of the game left.
Yeah.
Right? Well, we have, like, all of the season left.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been okay so far.
Yeah. It's good perspective. Hey, do you want to take a couple of questions?
I would love to.
Let's take a look at a few of these. This one, I don't know if we have an answer to it. This is from Callie, a great contributor. Need your guys' verdict of the Mitchwitch. Have you taken a run at this?
You know, we were supposed to get some on opening day, but they were
gone.
They were bombarded. By the way, for people who don't know what the Mitchwitch is, it's a 2-in-1 sandwich.
Uh-huh.
One side is Mitch Haniger, which is just all the lean protein in the world. Like, it is Mitch, a man whom I love and have great admiration for, but it's chicken breast and avocado, mm-hmm. like healthy fats and lean protein. And then the other side is Mitch Garver, which is like basically a Cuban.
Yeah.
Like pulled pork, ham. They're available. This was really impressive to me. They're available at all three walk-off markets in the ballpark, which are all on the main concourse. First base side, third base side, and there's a new one this year out in center field. So just walk in there, grab your Mitchwitch, and get out.
That seems right up your alley, though. So we will get your take on this at some point.
I can guarantee you I will like the Garver side more.
Yeah. Mary Prankster, this is interesting. Would you guys want to see the Mariners move to a six-man rotation sometime this season when Wu's back and everyone's healthy?
No. I want more of the five guys that they have. Like, that's less starts for Kirby, less for Gilbert, less for Castillo.
Yes. I will. Let me throw a caveat on this, because I think situations can always dictate your thinking, right?
Yeah.
If you get into August and you feel comfortable with where you're at in the standings, depending on, you know, what if you have a five-game lead or whatever, like, okay, you want to get guys ready for September, guys ready for playoffs, is there space to do that? Like, yeah. I could see that. But I'm with you. It's got to be circumstance. I do. Yeah. You know, part of me, though, feels like.
Well, I would ask. Can I ask this?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, here's why. The thing that stays with me is 2 years ago when the Mariners were in the postseason, and Luis Castillo did not start with the Mariners that year. He started with Cincinnati, and he didn't pitch in the first month. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I just remember him in September, him in the postseason, being electric. Fully, like, he was not worn down by the season. He was unbelievable. And that has just stayed with me, that version of Luis Castillo. Not that he couldn't get that through pitching it through the course of a season, but.
My follow-up to that, and I remember that.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. Can we definitively say that he was like that because he had a month off?
You cannot. You absolutely cannot. Like, no. There's no way to prove that either way.
Yeah, I think the greatest strength of this team right now is its rotation, and I want to maximize those. Now, to what you said, if there is an injury or a tweak or whatever, like, yeah, keep the guys upright.
And the reality is, I think – you're going to have to watch. There's two guys, I think, innings you'll have to watch along the way. Wu is one, and Hancock's the other. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Bryce is fine.
I think Bryce at this point is fine. But those are two guys you have to watch. So it's not like you could roll out those six guys for the season anyway. You know what I mean? And then the way they're currently constructed, there's not another obvious candidate to throw in there
Correct.
As a six guy, too. So. I think it's an interesting question. It's one worth thought. And just that Castillo thing. Like, you want everyone to be ready to go for the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? But that is so far off.
Can I tell you what I want? I want to see the top three guys throw 200 innings.
That'd be amazing.
That would be incredible.
As we've talked about, the last team to do it, the 18 Houston Astros. Mm.
Cole, Verlander.
Keuchel. Yeah.
Golly.
Remember?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That seems like...
I know.
That seems like a decade ago. Good call.
Richard Brody, do you think the missing ingredient for Mariners' success is live organ music?
Mm.
It seems like all World Series winners have an organist.
I mean, Atlanta has an organ. Yes.
I think he's onto something.
Houston does not.
That's true. That's a good point.
Minnesota's got a great organ. Mm-hmm. St. Louis has a wonderful organ. Who did I say Chicago? The Cubs have an organ. Did I say that?
You did not.
Okay. I love a real deal organ. I think that's a great point. Would you be willing to give up some of the home radio booth to put an organ in here?
Yeah. Right between us.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
We can jump on once in a while.
There's got to be an app for it that we could run that thing, right? Like an organ app where we play it on the keyboard on the iPad.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. And there's one for your feet. Yeah. It's got pedals, right?
Organs. Right. That's a great idea. I think we figured it out.
But I don't know if that's real live organ then. This guy wants the real deal, and I do too.
Okay, Ray Reeves asked, Julio is obviously a superstar talent. We all agree on that. With all the expectations heaped upon him at his age, is there a concern he pushes himself too hard? You know, I feel like that's part of the second year that we were talking about.
Well, he definitely pressed last year.
Yes, and that's how I think about trying too hard.
Yeah, because I'm glad you brought that up, because my initial interpretation of that, I think, was wrong. My initial interpretation of the question was, like, he's taking too many swings in the cage, or he's showing up here at 11 in the morning.
No, I read it as pressing.
Mm-hmm. Like on field.
Like, which is what I think we saw last year at times.
Absolutely.
And I've said this before. It comes from a great place. He wants to be great. He wanted the team to win. He wanted to come through when the team needed him. And when the offense struggled last year, I think he really felt that. And there were times where I feel like you could see the swings where he was trying to be the man.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't blame him on, right? That's part of it. I think that's part of the second-year thing. That's part of the learning process. And hopefully with – you know, it's part of – I listened back to Brent Brown, our conversation with him in the offseason, and he said something really interesting. He said a lot of interesting things, but there's a line that really stood out to me, and it was about the diversity of the lineup. And I think part of the struggles last year where opposition could pick on the same thing with a few different guys, Teoscar, Julio, Suarez, like the same approach, the same attack.
They were very pitchable at times.
Very pitchable, and a lot of the same attack. And the way I thought about Brent Brown and the way he described being a diversified lineup, I think they are more diversified this year. You can't attack Polanco the same way that you attack Garver, the same way that you attack Julio, right?
I agree.
Those three guys in a row. And I think there is benefit to that. Like, you can't have all the same guy 1 through 9 in your lineup. I do believe you have to have different traits in your lineup, and I think they're more diversified this year, which – thus helps Julio.
I think that's all well said. Yeah, and I'm not surprised that Brownie said that. He's got a way with words.
He does have a way with words.
I mean, he really does. I think we've already seen the dividends of a calmer approach from Julio.
That's a good way to put
it. I'm not going to make something more than what it is, you know, whatever he has, 20 plate appearances into the year. But we've already seen multiple pressure situations. By that, I mean close and late. Close and late at-bats where Julio has either passed the baton, drawn a walk, hasn't chased because he knows they're trying to get him to expand, and he doesn't chase.
Yeah.
Or a little inside-out swing like we saw for the walk-off win the other night.
One more question. This one's right up your alley. This is from Peter Jensen. What is the one food item in a road city that every fan should try to get while checking out the M's on the road?
Oh, my gosh. Peter.
Yeah.
The one thing in any – I got to choose a city with the food thing?
You can throw out a couple. That's fine.
Oh, my gosh.
You – while you're thinking about this, you should share your Bianco.
Well, when you – oh, when I went there, the guy in the back in Arizona?
Yes.
This is great. I hope he's listening.
Speaking of your recommendations, yeah.
Yeah, so I went on – I was on 710 right before I left for spring training, and they asked me, like, favorite spring training things, and I said, Pizzeria Bianco. Mm-hmm. It's, like, it's my favorite pizza in the world, which is unfair because I haven't been to Italy, but whatever. That's fine. And so
– You really want to go, though.
I do really want to go. And I walked in the back patio of Bianco's. We were waiting for a table. I was scouting out to see how busy they were. And a guy sees me, and like we just lock eyes, like Top Gun missile lock, man. And he's like, Goldie, hey, I'm here because of you on 710. So we just went golfing, and now we're crushing some pizzas. So, you know, hey, Bianco, throw your guy a free pie every once in a while. You know what I mean? I've spent a small fortune there over in the last decade plus. Uh-huh. But so Pizzeria Bianco in Arizona next spring training.
No Diamondbacks this year though, so
I know
can't make
that was
happen.
The only yeah that was a good one last year when we got double Bianco. Okay, I will say because I'm thinking of places we went just last year.
Oh yes.
I don't know how many people are going to go to Philly next
year. Oh, that's the one I was thinking about too.
See, I'm going to find the name of it, Gary.
Yes, I like that you're coming up with places where fans can't go this year to watch the Mariners.
See, that's what I feel really bad helpful. About. That's terrible. Should I not do it?
No, you can't.
Should we do this
you
again
should.
Next year?
We're down the Philly road. You should do it. I do feel like before this conversation ends, you have to give something for someone this year.
Yeah, I feel like kind of a jerk right now because I'm like teasing people with food that they can't get immediately.
But the great thing about the current schedule we know is we'll be these places next year. So it's not that far away.
The Italian district in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Little Nonas. N-O-N-N-A apostrophe S. Little Nonas. Was one of the great Italian meals we've ever had.
Yes.
And we ordered
everything.
Everything. We ended
is that
up,
the one where I had to slide over another table?
Yes, and we ended up with four desserts by user error. Okay, Little Nonas in Philly next year. Boy, then we're not going there. Okay, I'm going to give you our favorite Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We're there 19 times a year. So
yes, we are. In the Metroplex, there are a number of locations of what I would call the best steak fajitas that I've ever had. Because I'm a high maintenance type of guy, I ask for the onions well done.
Yes.
And they never balk at me. They're like, yes, we understand. La Hacienda Ranch.
It's great.
It's phenomenal. It just smells like mesquite when you walk in there.
We always eat outside, which is fun.
Handmade tortillas.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing. So that's... La Hacienda Ranch would be my Tex-Mex DFW recommendation. I'm going to give you my – you've forgotten about this place, but the moment I say it, you're going to say, yes, that is a top five place. In Orange County, there is a seafood place called Bear Flag Fish Company. It's in Newport. And it is – incredible.
It is incredible.
It's like a super nice Chipotle for seafood.
That is a very weird description. But okay.
That's really not it. Actually, the more because their menu is pretty diverse. So first of all, they have homemade guac, which is tremendous.
Great. Yeah.
They have a wide variety of poke, which are all great. Then they have like fish burritos.
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten the fish burrito before.
Yeah, they're wonderful. Also a place to eat outside.
Yeah, a beautiful little back patio. They have great fish tacos. You're in Newport.
Right.
It's like 78 degrees and sunny. That is a truly magnificent
place.
One.
That's a great one. Good job.
Can we make this? I would like to do deeper dives. I feel so, like, there's already more places in DFW I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Let's carve out some time for more. Like, maybe appropriate to where we're going, if it fits, as we continue on with this.
Yeah, I agree with that. And just so you know, thank you for all the questions, by the way. I really love this. Like, we're going to do this more often this year. Food questions we'll usually get in, too, is what I'll say.
These are great questions.
They are great questions.
Thank you for everybody who submitted
them. I like the variety. It was great.
It is
great. So thank you. Keep them coming. All right. That's it.
Gary, great work.
We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Gary.
So now, here comes the Julio conversation with Rick Riz, I promised.
Julio, coming off an outstanding year in 2023, the home runs, the RBIs, what adjustment you made during the course of the season. What excites you the most about 2024 when you take a look around the clubhouse and see all this talent in this clubhouse?
What excites me the most is just, like you said, the talent that we have, the way that the guys have been, like, building bonds with each other, and the way that we're, like, willing to fight for each other. I feel like I'm excited to see all that playing out this year. I feel like it's going to be a fun year, not for the team as a whole.
You were fourth in the American League vote for the Most Valuable Player Award. You're going to win that award in the very near future. What adjustments did you make from the early part of the year toward the second half of the season when you really took off?
I just feel like slowing things down a little bit, you know. I feel like trusting what I was doing a little bit more, and I feel like that's whenever things started to play out. I feel like I started to get a better idea as the year went on, where I was at, and I feel like understanding that and kind of just not trying to do too much and just kind of playing to my strength, I feel like that was the biggest key to where things started to get better.
An All-Star 2 years ago, an All-Star last year. What was it like playing in the All-Star game this year, being held at T-Mobile Park in Seattle? That had to be a thrill.
Oh, it was unbelievable, you know. It was kind of like I was the one that they were cheering on the most, and because I was the one from home. But so right. I feel like it felt pretty good to kind of be from the home crowd and just kind of how everybody embraced it.
Yeah.
What's next for Julio Rodriguez? You've accomplished so much in a short period of time.
I just kind of keep building on it. You know, I feel like I'm not thinking so much on the future. I feel like I'm more focused on what I can do every single day, and then when it's time to look back, I'm gonna look back. But I feel like right now I'm just focusing every single day at a time.
You're only 23 years of age, and you've had already a heck of a start to your career. And I take a look around at the young hitters in this camp right now. Lázaro Montez, we just talked with Felden Celestin, amazing talent. What do you see from the young hitters that are coming up through the organization right now, Julio?
I feel like what I see is that they're focused on the right things. You know, I feel like what I've been able to see is that they focus into working, into getting better. And I feel like every time I get a chance to talk to them, I just tell them, like, hey, stay focused and, like, work. Things will come with it with when it's due time, you know. So I feel like I see a lot of focus, a lot of dedication. I feel like they want to get to the Seattle team, the real team. I feel like, and that's something that they really focus on.
Who did that for you, Julio?
I feel like a lot of people, you know, a lot of people that I had around me, they always kind of like help me to stay focused and the right things. And I feel like I knew myself that at some point, if I put the work in and I stay focused over a long time, I knew I was gonna get there. I remember I had an old tweet that from like 2018 or something like that pinned in my Twitter account that I said with a lot of hard work and dedication, I know I was gonna be able to get to play for the Seattle Mariners. I feel like that's kind of how it happened.
What was it like for you growing up as a kid in Lomas de Cabrera in the Dominican Republic? Who taught you the game of baseball? I think at 12 years old, you played on your dad's team. What was that like?
I mean, I feel like the guy that showed me the sport was my dad. You know, my dad who was the one that put me into the game. And, yeah, at 12, I used to play softball with my dad. At 12, 13, I would always go because I got big enough where I could compete with grown men. So it was pretty fun.
I mean, who else were some of your heroes growing up in the Dominican Republic? So many great players have come from the DR. Who was your guy growing up?
I feel like guys from, like, Alex Rodriguez, David Ortiz, Manny Ramirez, I feel like those were, like, some of the guys that I really look up to. And even some American guys, like Derek Jeter, Ichiro Suzuki, too. Albert Pujols, there were so many guys that you can always look up to. But I feel like my biggest hero was always my dad, because he was the one that kind of opened the doors when I couldn't meet none of those guys. I could see that their I mean, follow their examples. But at the same time, like, my dad wouldn't put me in the game and, like, wouldn't show me how to act the right way. I feel like I wouldn't really be here.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.